Welcome back to Unfiltered Faith Podcast with your host. Stas is not with us today, but I have a very special guest. This is my good friend and mentor, Sarah Elson, who is the person that actually baptized me in the ocean. And I'm just so grateful that the Lord brought her into my life. So in today's episode, we're going to be discussing how to have a healthy mind. Now, we want to make sure that you guys are getting the best help. So we are not licensed physicians or doctors, but we can give you some great resources. They'll be linked in the description of this episode. These are our testimonies on how we overcame self-harm habits and sharing our experiences and what the Bible says about mental health. I'm very excited to have Sarah on. Sarah is one of the most spirit-filled, godly women I've encountered in my lifetime, and I'm just so grateful for her. She's gonna bring so much truth and revelation to you guys today and just break so many walls down, and I just pray that your ears open and your hearts are open to receive what we talk about. So Sarah actually has a jewelry company that she started. It's called Wired for Freedom. Make sure to go to her Instagram. You can pause this episode, go right now and follow her. She makes the most beautiful jewelry. I wear a necklace that says Jesus. I also have one that says Joy, but she has bracelets, rings, and it's basically, if you want to talk about it, they're kind of prophetic declarations, and it's about wearing your weapon. So if you want to talk about how that kind of started and give them your quick, like, little testimony.
I grew up in a Christian home, but I struggled with self-harm for 13 years. Here's the thing, is you can grow up in a Christian home, but not truly know who God is. And that's my story. I grew up believing that he was a punisher. My parents were really strict, and I love my parents. I've forgiven my parents. But the enemy used, there was an open door when I was in third grade. I went over to a friend's house and she got mad at me, told me that she hated me and that I should go kill myself. So that opened a door for the enemy to come in and wreak havoc in my life and for that spirit of death and that assignment of death and suicide and self-hatred and rejection and fear and anxiety and all those things and depression, all of those spirits, and we'll talk about that later, to come in and wreak havoc in my life. So I struggled with that for 13 years. And then I remember I kind of had like stopped doing it. And I just want to say something. I never met one person until I was 21 that struggled with it.
So you never met anyone that told you that they struggled with it. But yeah, it was going on. You just weren't aware that anyone else was doing that.
Yeah. And that's what the enemy does, is he tries to keep you in the dark, thinking that you're the only one that struggles with that. He wants to isolate you and shame you. And if anyone knew, what would they think? Yeah. And keep you quiet. And I remember I was 21 and I became a youth leader, and this girl asked me, how did I get so close to God? And I just said to her, well, I used to beat myself. I never heard of self-harm before. And she got really quiet. And she said that she struggles with the same thing.
Wow.
And it was in that moment that I realized, wow, like, I have a story to tell. I have something that can help people. So after that, the Lord started to bring young girls in my life that struggled with the same thing. Now, here's something that I learned.
Wait, really quick. That happened to me too. I realized that the women that would come into my life and the friends I was making, they also went through eating disorders, like, and had body image dysmorphia and all those things. And I could speak into them. And that just clicked right now. I didn't really think about that.
Yeah, that's, and here's the thing about that is, the Lord showed me, although like the behavior stopped, the wrong beliefs were still there. And while I stopped hurting myself, I still hated myself.
Yeah. The action stopped, but the mindset and the thoughts were still.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is like, your behaviors are rooted in your beliefs. And if you don't deal with the belief and you just deal with the behavior, that's like mowing the grass and not pulling out the weeds. You have to go to the root. Yeah. And the root is, what do you believe about God and what do you believe about yourself? Mm. That affects every area of your life. And so for me, I thought he was a punisher. I thought that he had favorites, that yes, he may love me because he's God and he loves everyone, but I didn't believe that he loved me personally. And so these new girls come in and I'm helping this one girl, and at church camp, again, things seem to happen to me at camps. Because then I'll tell you how the jewelry came about, because I was at a camp too. So I remember this one girl, I looked at her and I'm like, what's wrong? And she's like, nothing. And I'm like, I don't believe you. Like, what's wrong? And she's like, nothing. Well, about 10 minutes later, the youth pastor calls me over and takes us back to his cabin and says, show her. And she couldn't even look at me, and she turned her head the other way and showed me her wrists, and they were covered in blood.
Oh my gosh.
And I lost it. I hit the floor and I wept and I wept and I wept. And I couldn't talk to anyone for 2 days. And I said, God, I do not understand why she doesn't know that she's loved and she's valued and she's beautiful. And I heard the Lord say, Sarah, look in the mirror. Why don't you? We can say all these great things to people, but we have to believe it for ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's power when we are walking in that truth of God's word.
Yeah.
That then we know the truth and we are set free, and we're set free to set others free.
Yeah.
And so again, while I stopped hurting myself, I still hated myself. And that's when I went on this journey with the Lord. Okay, who are you? And who do you say I am? So how the jewelry happened is I ended up going to another camp, and I was a counselor for abused and neglected foster kids. And the Lord just led me to this wire. The lady was teaching kids how to just express themselves, and they got hold of this wire. And I ended up having a vision to write out the word loved, because words are really powerful. And, mm-hmm. and that's the opposite word of what these kids feel. So I wrote out this word loved. And there's like so much that I could share, but I'm trying to like condense it. But when I got back home, I started making jewelry, didn't think anything of it. And then I was reminded of a prophecy that was spoken over me in high school, that one day I'd be an entrepreneur and own my own business. And I was like, oh my gosh, 7 years later, here's this thing, people are wanting to buy it from me. But I still believed the lie that it wasn't good enough. I would hear the enemy. Not every thought is your own thought. Let me say that.
Yes,
not
say a louder for the people in the back.
Not every thought is your own thought. The Lord speaks to you and the accuser speaks to you.
And more often than not, I think we're listening to the enemy.
Exactly.
And we have to just be like, nope, I don't believe that. I don't come into agreement with that. Mm-hmm. I come into agreement with what God says.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is you can't know what God says if you don't spend time with him and in his word. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I heard Dr. Caroline Leaf, I highly recommend her book, Switch On Your Brain. But she said, when you believe the lie, you empower the liar. See, Satan has no power over you other than what you give him access to.
Yeah.
And when you agree with him, he has access to wreak havoc in your life. And so you want to come out of agreement with those things that he's said. But so it became this thing where now I'm using my hands to create instead of destroy. But I just want to say one thing.
That's good.
Yeah. I want to say one thing that the Lord showed me recently. It's called Wired for Freedom, Wear Your Weapon. And I always say, like, I don't just create jewelry. I create weapons of mass destruction. And because the name Wired for Freedom, it comes from, you were created to be free, to walk in freedom, to walk in who God called you to be. But what happens is lies get entangled in with the truth through experiences, through things that people say, from believing lies. And then you have to use God's word, spending time with him, intimacy, spending time with him, to untangle those lies that you've been believing. So you can walk in the freedom that Jesus paid the price for. He gave his blood for you. Todd White always says, the price of something, or the value of something, is based on the price that was paid for it. Mm. And the blood of Jesus paid for your life. So you are of the highest value. you are of the highest value. And let me say this too, like people are like, oh, I don't feel worthy. Let me just destroy that right now. You are worthy because here's the thing is God wanted so much to be reconciled back to you because the enemy came, deceived Adam and Eve, and there was a division between God and man, and God so wanted you back for himself that he sent Jesus to give his life for you. So you are worthy. God saw you so worthy. He so wanted to be reconciled back to you that's why he gave Jesus his life. Did you deserve it? No, but are you worth it? Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
If you guys want to go to Sarah's website to buy a necklace, it'll be linked in the description of this episode, and you can use code FAITH10 for 10% off a purchase $35 or more. Again, that is code FAITH10.
You have to renew your mind. It says that when the devil is casted out, and it comes back to look if that house was swept clean and nothing there. If nothing is there, then it will come back even stronger. And that's why you have to fill the house, which is your mind. Mm-hmm. When you get set free from these mindsets and these tormenting spirits, you have to renew your mind with God's word. That is the key, knowing his word. That is how I overcame self-harm. I didn't go to counseling. I'm not against counseling. I didn't take medicine. I'm not against medicine. But it was through, okay, Jesus, I need to know that you are real.
Yeah, and you had an encounter, which is what I had, and that's how I overcame bulimia, because I went to counseling, I saw an eating disorder therapist, nothing was working, nothing was working, and then it came to the point where I was so desperate to get better, I just literally had to call and be like, Jesus, I want to be well. And that's when the Lord stepped in and was like, okay, why are you doing this? Like, what is it that... Do you, like, the Lord showed me that I didn't see myself as a temple. My body is a temple. And so I was so abusing my body and not putting, like, I wasn't taking care of it. And so when the Lord showed me that, like, I couldn't even go back to those old behaviors because my mindset was changed. And so I don't ever go back there because I renewed my mind in the word and started really feeding myself the word of God.
Yeah. Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you change your mind, you change your life. Your behaviors change. Mm-hmm. Everything changes. I always say, God, I thank you that when this person wears this necklace, this bracelet, these earrings, this ring, this shirt, I also have apparel, that literally it would do something. Mm-hmm. That they would be set free. Like, I anoint my stuff with oil and I say, God, I thank you for this person. I speak healing, freedom, and deliverance over them in Jesus' name. I was reading Isaiah 61 and it got to a part where it says that I am clothed in salvation. I am robed in righteousness. I am like a bridegroom in his wedding suit or a bride with her jewels. And the Lord said, look at that word jewels. So I look at the word jewels in the original Hebrew and it's this word that's like, I think it's pronounced Kelly. And it was also the word weapon.
That's insane.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I actually am creating
weapons. Yeah, she's literally, I have a joy necklace that when Sarah baptized me, oh yeah, by the way guys, Sarah was the one that rebaptized me in the ocean, which was such a cool experience. But she prophesied over me and she was like, offensive joy. And I start laughing because like I already knew that that was something that I was doing. Like my joy was offending people. And then she made me a joy necklace and then nothing was the same after that. But okay.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like I want it to actually not be like the Lord said, it looks dainty, but it's dangerous because I almost see like when a secret agent, they're like, oh, this is actually not an earring, but this is a weapon. Oh, and that's how I see it. Like, oh, this cute necklace. Oh, but it's not a cute necklace.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's more than that.
And see, here's the thing is first, it's for you. First, that Jesus necklace is for you. Mm-hmm. And then it's for other people.
Yeah. When I'm out and about, people compliment me on it. Yeah. And then it's a way to evangelize and minister. I think I've told you a little bit about my past with self-harm, which was bulimia, which is self-harm. And then I also dealt with the spirit of death. When I was younger, I had girls say to me in high school, a girl said, like, I want her to die. Like, I hope she kills herself. And so I've had multiple, like, people speak that over me. And I also have just had suicidal thoughts all throughout high school. I looked up ways to commit suicide. And I never understood, like, why I struggled with this I didn't really talk about it with anyone. I told my mom, but she was always just kind of like, oh, just like, I don't know, like, get yourself out of it. Like, get yourself out of this funk. But it was such a stronghold. And I truly, truly believe that this depression that a lot of our generation faces is because of it's a stronghold. Like, yeah. It's something that people can't break out of, but the Lord wants to set you free from it.
Yeah.
Like, he wants you to be out of that dark place.
Yeah. That's the thing. You can't break out of it, like, in
your own strength.
In your own strength. You can't fight a spiritual battle without spiritual weapons.
Yep.
It says in 2 Corinthians 10 through 5 that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning they're not of this world, but they are mighty in Christ for the pulling down of strongholds. Now, strongholds are mindsets. A stronghold is a fortress. It's like a protection. Mm. But a demonic stronghold, it's a fortress in your mind. It's a mindset. You have a lie, and that stronghold is protecting that lie from being destroyed.
Interesting. Yeah. I just got an interesting visual of that. Like, there's the lie in your mind, and then there's almost like this thing that's just like there's like trenches and all these things that are protecting it so that you keep believing that.
Exactly. And, you know, that's why it's so important to meditate on God's word. Like, when we are thinking about God and we are meditating on his word, like, you feel peace, right?
Mm-hmm.
You feel something supernatural.
And then when I worship, I feel joy. So he gives you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's really what I saw within this last year, was I was still in like this kind of sorrow and sorrowful thing, which it's okay to experience sadness. We all experience, there's a time for weeping and there's a time for mourning and joy. But I realized that God didn't want me in that sad place forever. He was like, no, Meredith, like, I want you to be joyful. I want you to be happy. And so he replaced that when I started to worship and spend time with him. I felt the most joy I've ever had in my life. And it was almost like this supernatural joy. I was like, even though like the world seems to be crashing down around me and nothing is going right, like, I'm still joyful. Like, how is that possible?
Yeah, here's the thing. Let's talk about grief for a second. Like, grief is normal and it's healthy, but there's a time where it stops. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't stop, it opens up the door for that spirit of heaviness to come in. Really quick, let's talk about praise, because if you look at the story with David, and I mean, there's like, we'll probably have to do a part two on this.
Yes,
there's so much,
honestly.
Just in the revelation that God gave me for sound. Mm. But when David played and King Saul, he was tormented by demons. When the other musicians played, the demons didn't flee. But when David, who's anointed by God, played for him, the demons fleed. So worship is
a weapon.
Yes. Yeah. Philippians 4:6-8. It's one of my favorite scriptures. It says, do not worry about anything. Okay, then what do?
Pray about everything.
Yes.
Literally,
instead,
if you have one worry in your head, just throw it up to God and say, nope, I'm not going to worry. I'm just going to pray. And then just start talking to God. And praying could be literally just like making sounds. Like, it's just a conversation. If you're in your car and you feel stressed out, just start talking to God. Like, people may like look at you weird, but who cares?
Yeah, and you're like, I don't know what to say. Just be like, God, you're good. God, you're good.
God, you love me. I'm a child of God.
Yeah. And see, you can't say that stuff if you don't get in his word and spend time with him.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be complicated. I feel that I am really called to tell people that, listen, you, your Bible, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, you need community. Yes, go to church. But your pastor is not your Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like, he says to come like a child.
Childlike,
you know?
Yeah.
Come like a child. So instead, you pray, and thanksgiving, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. Mm. And when you do this, you will experience his peace that surpasses your human understanding. Listen, I've learned to lay down my need to understand.
Yeah.
I can't understand
that's
everything.
Where a lot of us, I think, get trapped up. Like, I just know from being around people where they have to, and I think I experienced this too last year, where I was like, God, what's going on in the world? Like, I want to know. Like, I need to understand the future. But we need faith, because our faith is what moves God. Like, if we don't have faith, we can't please him. If we're just like, oh, I need to know what happens, we're not trusting the Lord.
Yeah, and just lay down your understanding and say, I don't understand, but God, I know that you are only good. I know that you are for me. You are not against me. I thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. But I wanna share a revelation that God gave me, and it blew my ever-living mind. And we often hear the scripture, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And the Lord, how he speaks to me is he'll just point out a scripture and he'll say, look up that word in the original. And I have this app called the Strong's Concordance app. You can get it. It's amazing. And it will show you the original Greek or Hebrew of that word. Like in the Greek language, there's multiple words for the word love. There's phileo, friendship, love. There's agape, unconditional love. So I'm looking at this scripture, right? And I see the word spirit. It's this Greek word pneuma. I may be saying it wrong, but it's this word pneuma. And it means breeze, breath, wind. Mm. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And this is what he showed me. You know when someone walks by you, you can feel a breeze.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So people often say, like, I just had this wave of depression come over me, like you don't know where it came from. Mm-hmm. Or this wave of anxiety came over me. Mm-hmm. So what I want to tell you is when that happens, that spirit is present in your presence. And that spirit wants to put on you what it carries. Mm. That spirit carries death. That spirit carries hatred. That spirit carries loneliness and isolation and depression and fear and anxiety. They are tormenting spirits. You don't want to call them demonic spirits. They are tormenting spirits. They torment you.
Yeah.
They torment you. I remember I would have these, what I would call mind headaches. I didn't know how to describe it when I was little, but I'd have these mind headaches where I just heard all these voices screaming at me and I'd be like, I don't know what to do. Like, I just have to sit here and let them yell at me till they stop. Like, those are tormenting spirits. I'm here to tell you that anxiety is a tormenting spirit. Depression is a tormenting spirit. And Jesus paid the price to set you free from all of that. And the Lord said, Sarah, some people want to just deal with it, but I came to deliver them from it.
Can I get an amen?
That's the thing is, like, our culture and even in the church, like, it's creeping in, like, you know, just accept it. This is how it is. But no, Jesus gave his life. He defeated death and darkness. He defeated the enemy. And here's the thing is that you have the power to choose who you're going to listen to.
Yep.
You have the power to choose who you're going to listen to. You don't have to always struggle with this. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not against medicine, but don't become dependent on that. Use his word as a medicine. It says in Proverbs 4, I think it's 20 or 22, it says that your word is like medicine to my bones.
Yeah, it's so true. I took antidepressants for 4 months, and honestly, I think it made me worse. Like, I stopped taking them because I felt like, I was like, I don't think I need to be on these. I don't know if it's doing anything, and I didn't want to be on them long term because my dad or my family had a friend, an older man who was on antidepressants for years, and he hung himself in his mom's garage.
Yeah.
And it scared me. I was like, I don't want to be on these pills, like, if it's going to have a negative side effect. So I just trusted God and I was like, okay, Lord, I trust you that I'm going to get better and I don't need these pills and that you will deliver me from this. And he did. Like, the spirit of suicide and death left because I replaced it with Jesus. Like, I was like, nope, I got the joy of the Lord as my strength now.
And I really feel that I need to say this. You know, people that are bipolar or you feel like you're an empath and you just feel all these things, I want to say something. There's a spiritual gift called discernment, and you can discern spirits. Mm. And so a lot of people who get diagnosed as bipolar, they actually have a strong gift of discernment. And they are discerning they're discerning the spirit of depression, they're discerning the spirit of anxiety, they're discerning what's in the atmosphere, but they don't know that they're discerning it. They think that, oh, I'm depressed one day, I'm this one day, I'm that one day. But no, you are actually discerning.
You're just picking up on what other people are experiencing.
Exactly, exactly. And I was talking to my friend about that whole empath thing, and I was like, you know what? That's actually discernment. And instead of just taking on all those feelings, when you feel depressed, it's like, okay, God, who is this for?
Yeah.
I had a time where I was like having all these jealousy things, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, I'm not a jealous person. And I was like, God, I just repent right now in Jesus' name. And the Lord, and it was towards this one girl, and I was like, wait a second, what is happening? And he was like, you are discerning what's coming against her.
Wow.
So I'm thinking it's all me, when the Lord wanted me to just intercede for her and what was coming against her. So that's really important, because, you know, the world doesn't know how to explain spiritual things, and they just look at it the natural, and they just want to deal with it in the natural. And you can't deal, again, you cannot deal with spiritual things.
Our battle is not flesh and blood, but of...
Ephesians 6:10-18, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And you, when you came into this world, you did not come into this world in the 1920s. You came in this world, and when you came into this world, it was when heaven invaded earth. It was a thy kingdom come, thy will be done moment, because it says that from the foundation of the world, God chose you in Christ to be here. So he has a plan for your life, and the enemy has an assignment of death on your life. And the only way you can be set free from all this stuff that you may be dealing with is it says that submit to God, resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. And sometimes we can get into works like, oh, I gotta resist the enemy. But actually, it's in your submission to God that you are resisting the enemy, and therefore he has to flee from you.
Yep. Yeah.
So, and I remember my pastor said something. He said, some things need to be counseled and some things need to be cast out. And just this past weekend, I was with this girl, and she just got so radically set free. The Lord took her back to the moment where she was violated, and it was in a basement. And one encounter with God, she saw him pull her out of the darkness and bring her into the light. And she's like, what's crazy is my counselor, who's a Christian, said, it's gonna take a really long time to get through this. And she was like, in one moment, God set me free.
Oh my gosh.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
No, it can happen in a moment. Like,
it is. It does not have to be this long, long journey. You know, like, life is a process. And here's the thing is, like, you're actually, like, the closer you get to Jesus, I had this vision yesterday. It's like you have a piece of jewelry. That jewelry is valuable no matter what, but it can look dirty and grimy and look like it doesn't have any value. But as you spend time with the Lord and in his presence, he begins to purify and refine it and clean it and bring it back to its original
design
and what it looked like. And that's what your life is. As you're growing close to God, he's forming you into who he actually created you to be from the very beginning.
That's good.
Here's where you know that kind of stuff is spiritual. There's a man, he's when Jesus was in the Gadarenes, he was in a cemetery, and he was crazy. He was insane. He was living in a cemetery. He would hurt himself, all these things. And when Jesus walked up and set him free, he went from insane to sane. And what's interesting is that the people in the village, like, they just they had so accepted his insanity that when he became sane, they were freaked out. Isn't that so weird?
What? Well, yeah, they were like, well, who is this guy? Because Jesus made him brand new.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that they, like, the city didn't want Jesus there. Like, they were so scared.
That kind of reminds me of Mary of Magdalene, because she was possessed by a demon, which... not a lot of people talk about, but, like, she was straight up possessed. And then Jesus called her by name, just by one look, one touch. She was a whole new...
Did you watch the episode of The Chosen?
I literally...
So good.
Something hit me. I was like, I felt like it was me. I was like, that happened to me? I love it.
Yeah,
if you guys haven't seen The Chosen on YouTube, it is such a good series. Definitely go check it out.
It's so powerful. So that's the thing, is like, culture is like, oh yeah, like, just accept it. This is your life now. This is how it's going to be. Here's how to deal with it. Here's how to cope it. And they glorify it.
Yeah.
And it's like, cool.
We don't identify with our zodiac signs, our Enneagrams. The Enneagram it's like a personality tool, but it's not something where you put your identity in it and be like, okay, well, I'm a, you know, 3 on the Enneagram, so I'm this and I'm just like this for the rest of my life. No. That's not necessarily true.
Yeah, like I'm introverted, and so, but if the Lord wants to give you a spirit of boldness and tell you to go out and talk to
people. That happened to me, because I was like, oh no, I'm just like introverted and I was shy for so long, and then God was like, no, you're not. Actually, you're very courageous and bold. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. So the Lord is so good, and if you're listening to this, it was predestined from the foundation of the world, this moment in time, for you to listen to this. And I just want you to know that what you're going through, so many people are going through, like, you're not alone, but I'm here to tell you that you can be delivered from it. That thing can go. Those tormenting spirits, you don't have to live your life in torment forever. This is the very thing that Jesus came to pay the price for, so that you can walk in freedom.
He came to set the captives free, to restore sight to the blind. And it's so interesting, because, like, physically, yes, like, you know, I believe that, but, like, spiritually, it's like the veil and the scales should need to be,
and the same thing with
the ears. It's about opening the eyes to see things in the spiritual, and to hear what God is saying. And so, like, once that happens, it's like it changes the game.
Yeah, and you were created to hear the voice of your Father. It says, my people know me and hear my voice, and as strangers they will not follow. So you have a choice to follow the shepherd or the stranger.
Wow. And to listen. That another thing I am so passionate about is guarding all the gates, like your eye gate, your ear gate. Yes. Because if you're constantly feeding yourself, like, the news and all the stuff that is negative, you're just going to be mired in that darkness, and it's following a stranger's voice. Mm-hmm. And honestly, my belief is that the media, like, is a false prophet. That's just how I see it. Like, I see the media as just, like, spewing out information and trying to get you to believe certain things, and a lot of it is probably not true. And so we just have to be careful, like, what we're watching and what we're listening to. And I noticed a big change in myself when I stopped watching the news. And obviously it's important to just, you know what's going on in the world, but not let it consume you.
Yeah. And let me say another thing, when it comes to sound, because the Lord showed me the power of sound, and in every sound.
We did an episode on this about how Stoss and I were, like, led by these sexual songs, and there was a spirit of lust attached to it, and it led me to do some crazy stuff, guys.
Like, No, when God spoke, things came into existence. And when God speaks, there is life, light, and truth. And when it's of the enemy, it is death, darkness, and lies. And it really does matter what you're listening to. When I was talking to someone about this, like, when they work out, I'm like, well, what do you listen to when you're working out? And I was like, are you listening to Christian music? And she's like, no. And I'm like, okay, so you're using your time for working out to process, but you're not processing it with the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean?
It's so crazy you say that, because when I work out without, like, Christian music, and it's like rap, or there's just like some kind of underlying, the tone and theme is not of God, I feel a difference. I get agitated. I get, I start, like, picking apart my body. It immediately shifts my whole, like, being. And I'm like, okay, and the Lord was like, Meredith, you need to be careful what you're listening to, because it's putting you in this state, and I don't want you there.
Yeah. Sound is so spiritual. It's so spiritual. And how the enemy gets those messages out is,
Through music.
Sound. Music.
You know, Satan was the one in heaven with the doing all the music. Like, he's got a huge stronghold on earth with, like, the music industry. And that's why I want Christian music to take over the radio.
Yes.
I turn on the radio and immediately I'm like, uh-oh, I gotta turn this off.
Yeah. So watch pay attention to what you're listening to. I mean, think about music. It's interesting, because it's like you can just, like, start singing a song and it's almost like it takes over, and you just, like, start singing it and you don't even realize.
Repetitive.
And, and that matters. That affects your spirit. Yeah. And so fill your spirit with things that
light.
Yeah, that carry the presence of God, because it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and liberty.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm passionate about all these things. I just really want to see people set free. I want people to know that God is good. And you know, they say everything happens for a reason, and here's what I say about that. Everything happens for there is a reason everything happens, but not everything that happens was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
It was not God's plan for your family to get a divorce. It was not God's plan for you to have an abortion. It was not God's plan for you to get raped. Whatever it
was. That's the devil stealing, killing, and destroying.
Exactly.
But God takes what the enemy meant for evil and he turns it for good.
Yes. Yes, and he is the one who came to give life and life
more abundantly.
Yeah, and the opposite of that is like lack and not feeling like there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And feeling the enemy wants you to get to the place where you have you feel that you have no reason to live, no hope, no joy, no light, that he can take you out. But that's why we come on here and talk about these things, because we know.
Because we know you're here for a reason, guys. And you're here, like, there's a plan over your life. And like, I can tell you that I've had moments where I felt like there wasn't a plan. And I was like, I felt hopeless. And I knew that was the devil trying to get me to take my own life.
Yeah. And here's another thing about feelings. Feelings are not always facts. Just because I don't feel beautiful doesn't mean that changes God's word that I'm a beautiful masterpiece.
Yep.
That's why it's so important to fill your, like, eat on God's word.
Yeah.
Like, be in his presence.
It says that man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God.
I would just encourage you to just, you know, if you're going to start somewhere, start with Psalm 139. It talks about how he watched you being knit in your mother's womb, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and his workmanship is marvelous, and he wants you to know it. And Ephesians 3:14-20 talks about that you would know the height, the depth, the width, and the length of God's love. Though it's so great, you will never fully understand it, but that your roots will go deep down into the soil of his marvelous love. And those two scriptures are so powerful. And what I did is I just started to look up scriptures. Okay, God, what do you say about fear? What do you say about
anxiety.
Worry,
yeah.
Anxiety.
Look up, like, what does the Bible say about this? And then those scriptures that come up, you can just meditate on them.
Yeah.
And just recite them or memorize them. It's really helpful, honestly.
Yeah. And here, like, I used to really have a spirit of fear, and then, you know, got delivered from that. And then when it would come back, I'd be like, oh my gosh, well, I thought I was delivered from this. And the Lord was like, you don't have a spirit of fear. You just need to renew your mind. You need to, like, when that spirit tries to come at you, like we said, spirit of fear, when that spirit enters the room, it wants to put that on you, but you have a choice. It says that God did not give it to you, so if he didn't give it to you, then someone else is trying to give it to you, and you don't have to take it. You can reject it. You can say, no, I'm not going to. If you look at the story of Jesus in the wilderness, the enemy came and he tempted him and he said all these things, and Jesus did not receive what he said. He said, no, I'm not going to take that. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to come into agreement with that. And there's things in your life that you've come into agreement with the enemy, and it's given him power to wreak havoc in your life. Mm-hmm. And that's where we have to repent for coming into agreement. Like I was going to say earlier, is like when you are spending time with God and you are listening to worship music and you're reading his word, you feel his peace. And in the very same way, when you listen to the lies of the enemy, you feel worry and anxiety. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing someone say, worry is meditating on Satan's agenda for your life.
Yeah, that's true.
That is, you're meditating. When you are worrying and you're anxious, you are actually meditating on the enemy's agenda and words over your life. And that's where you use the spiritual weapons that God's given you, prayer, worship, and the word of God. And We can talk about this.
And Sarah's jewelry.
Oh, yes, yes. Because that's the thing is I want that word, like, if you feel unworthy when you wear that worthy necklace, that it would be a point of contact for you to remind you. Actually, Stoss said that to me, that when she struggles, she touches her faith necklace, and it reminds her to choose faith over fear. And that's what I want it to be. Yeah. Like, you know, to remind you of who God is and who he says.
Yeah.
It's not enough just to believe that there is a God. It says in James that even the demons believe in him and tremble at his name.
It's about the intimate relationship.
Yes.
For him to know you and you to know him.
Yeah, and to know his heart for you. Yeah. So, and that's the key to identity. Everything is about identity, what you believe about God and who he is.
Yep.
And first you believe there is a God, then you believe him. It doesn't say Abraham believed in him. It said Abraham believed him and declared him righteous. A lot of people believe in him. A lot of Christians believe in him.
But don't believe him.
Exactly. They don't believe what he says about them.
Yeah.
And there's a really big difference between believing in him and believing him. And so once you actually believe him, you believe he is who he says he is, then you're able to believe you are who he says you are. I might not feel beautiful, but God, you say I am, and it says that he is not a man that he should lie. And so whether I feel beautiful or not, you say I'm beautiful, so I have to believe you. I'm not gonna believe myself. I'm gonna believe what you say.
Yeah.
So we really hope that in this you hear that you don't have to stay the way that you are, and it's not up to you to figure out how to change yourself. Mm-hmm. It's as you spend time with Jesus, his love changes you. It says that perfect love casts out fear, and this is another one of those things that the Lord had me look up, that word cast out, and it's this word that means that his perfect love violently casts out all fear. The closer you draw to him, and I'd be like, well, God, I need to change this, I need to change that, and he's like, no, you need a revelation of my love. You just need to come closer to my love, because it's my love that will change you and transform you and set you free.
That's so true.
Yeah,
I experienced that this year. I still had fear. I really was in like kind of a dark place, and I don't think I was fully trusting that God ultimately had the best in store for me, and I was kind of just like, no, the world is just, it's just getting darker and darker. But God was like, okay, so you're in fear, so you don't fully, my perfect love is not in you yet. And I was like, oh, and it was so convicting when I read that scripture. I was like, whoa. And then it wasn't like, it took like probably a month, and I started to see the change in me where the fear I had was like gone. Like I couldn't even find it. I was like, whoa, Meredith, like where'd the fear go? And it's funny because I got this tattoo a few summers ago that says no fear. And it's so prophetic. Like God is, he speaks to us in the coolest ways. But he was like, yeah, Meredith, I got to perfect you in my love. And he's doing it.
Yeah.
I think he did it.
And that's the thing is you can't earn it or deserve it. You just simply have to receive it.
Yeah.
And if you're like, I have a hard time reading the Bible, hey, there's this thing called the Bible app, and you can actually hit play and listen to it.
Yeah.
And allow God to speak his word over you by listening to it and just filling your spirit with his word, because he will transform you. It's supernatural. He will transform you by his word and by his love.
So good. We love you, Jesus. Okay, so this episode's almost an hour long. I'll probably cut some stuff out, but that was so good. If there's any questions that you have for us, you can DM us on the Unfiltered Instagram or just DM Sarah. I think we're going to do a part two, or we'll do another episode with Sarah and talk about spiritual gifts or just any other topics you guys want to hear more about. Let us know.
So Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for your love. I thank you, Lord, that right now, that the person who's listening to this, God, that they would tangibly feel your presence. Faith is not a feeling, it's a knowing. But God, I thank you that we have the opportunity to feel your presence because you are so real. I thank you, Lord, that your love would just overwhelm them from their head to their feet right now, Jesus. I thank you that the words that we spoke, the word of your truth would pierce their heart right now, in the name of Jesus, by the authority vested in Meredith and I, because of the blood of Jesus. And as daughters of the King, I come against the spirit of death, spirit of suicide, spirit of depression and anxiety, every foul and unclean spirit right now that is tormenting this person. I command it to go in Jesus' name. I bind it, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for your spirit of peace and love and joy, Lord. I thank you, God, that right now those strongholds are broken. Those strongholds are broken. I thank you, God, just for freedom in their mind, that they would have a sound mind, healing in their bodies, God. I thank you for even scars being healed. You make all things new. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. We worship you. We magnify your name, God. I thank you that you would visit them in their dreams, that they would hear you speak to them, that they would choose not to listen to the voice of the stranger, but they would choose to listen to the voice of the shepherd God. I thank you, Lord, that it's not by might, not by power, but by your spirit that you say, Lord, that we will be free. So I thank you, Jesus, for your blood. I speak the blood of Jesus over every person right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear.